This is Stephen Adams.
And this is Kevin Durant. Oh, sorry.
Kevin Durant. You're Kevin Durant, mate. Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go again.
So, this is Stephen Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth.
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll
down
say
to
that.
Dunk. Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Stephen Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast.
Stay tuned.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're a part of DailyThunder.com, also Almighty Baller Radio. You can listen to us on Dash Radio on Saturday afternoons. With me today is the hot ham man, John Ham. John, what's up?
What is going on this morning?
Oh, I'm just sitting here drinking coffee out of my Stephen Adams mug.
Stephen Adams mug?
Yeah.
I don't have one of those.
Did you see the Stephen Adams interview that he did in, I think it was the Philippines?
No, I did not.
He recently did it. I watched it this morning, and I get like only like 150 people have watched it so far on YouTube. but it's pretty interesting. The most interesting thing to me is they asked him, "What's it like playing with Russell Westbrook?" And he said, "It's real hard." He said he's so fast.
That's great.
That's pretty great. Stephen Adams is awesome. You should go. Everybody, yeah. Check out that interview. Let's get him more than 150 views on that.
Was it CNN Philippines or was it something else?
I don't even know. Somebody sent it to me on Twitter. Thank you.
Interesting.
Some massive Stephen Adams fan. John, there's a few things going on. Not a lot going on in the NBA right now. But let's talk about Russell Westbrook a little bit. Let's first talk about like how breaking news happens, and then let's talk about like the structure of Russ's contract going forward. So I'm going to let you go on that first topic.
Yeah, because I mean, I know everyone is on pins and needles, waiting for an answer one way or another. You know, is Russell Westbrook going to sign this extension? And so it's giving. I don't know. It's giving rise to people, you know, to come up with their own theories why it hasn't been done yet, mostly on the negative side, or people just coming out and reporting that, oh, yeah, it's going to be done here in a couple of days. And maybe it will be. But here's my perspective on this. So last year I was out in Las Vegas. I was out there for my main job at a conference. But in my spare time, I was out at Summer League, which was awesome.
That is great.
So, but I remember I'm in my hotel room and there was the morning that Howard Beck wrote the story that he was talking to people in Las Vegas and everyone expected Russell Westbrook to be traded. And I remember texting the Down to Dunk group and saying, man, it sure feels like Russ is going to be traded after his camp is over, because he was doing his camp in Tulsa during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not informed. That was just kind of, you know, gosh, I'm reading this Howard Beck article. And I mean, this is just kind of how it looks like it's heading. And so you were going to do your Down to Dunk live pod later that night.
Yeah.
Later that day, I got information that Russell Westbrook had agreed to an extension.
Mm-hmm.
So that was mid-July.
I was going to say, I got an alert 2 days ago that it was a year ago that we did that. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so you're like, I didn't even tell you guys. I didn't follow up, you know, the group text. Like, oh, my God, guys, guess what? You know, it's like, oh, all righty then. Now, I could have run to Twitter and I could have fired out, Russell Westbrook has agreed to an extension. And I was also told some other things that were possibly going on. But, you know, I didn't want to do that. For number one, I didn't want to burn my source. For number two, I didn't have multiple confirmations on this. I didn't feel comfortable with it. Now, let's say that I had done that. I go to Twitter, fire it off, get it out there. It's weeks before it actually happens.
Yeah.
Like, he agreed to it, but it didn't get signed for a few weeks.
You're 2.5 weeks of just sitting there and people just drilling you on Twitter, probably.
Oh, no, no. People would have been cool. They would have been like, oh, no, Ham knows what he's talking about. Let's give him some space. We're going to be totally cool. I'm sure. No, I mean, look at Chris Haynes. I mean, that dude, I mean, no matter, you know, right. positive opinion, negative of Chris Haynes, I mean, that dude was getting drilled for hours over the Gordon Hayward thing.
Right.
And he had it.
Yeah.
He had it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it wasn't convenient for the other people. So, yeah. So anyway, like, that's information that I sat on. But, you know, whenever I went on and did my spots on the franchise or even on Down to Dunk, I'm sure if you went back, I expressed all kinds of optimism. Mm-hmm. I still think, you know, Russell Westbrook is going to extend. I didn't know the terms. I didn't know any other details other than he had committed to resign. So, in other words, I don't want to speak for Royce and Fred and Eric and Brett and the great, you know, the people like the professionals, because I'm a rank amateur at this crap. Okay. Mm-hmm. Those professionals, you know, those guys, I'm sure, hear stuff all the time, and they don't run out and report every little thing they get. It informs their writing.
Yep.
And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of the approach that I've taken. It's informed my analysis whenever I'm brought on to be a quote unquote insider. You know, I take information that I hear and I try to filter it and then present it out there and use it also to kind of combat some of the craziness. But yeah, I mean, not everyone is Woj or Shams. I mean, those guys, that is their own little industry. It's almost like an information exchange.
Right.
You know, between agents and teams and, okay, if I tell you this, can you tell me what you've heard about that? It's kind of like, you know, it's a currency exchange they got going on there.
Yep.
It's not a business I'm interested in. So anyway, and the other, you kind of going back, you know, like I said, I heard that Russ committed. I heard there was other things in the works. Those things didn't happen. So imagine if I had reported that those things, you know, were in the works and didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were talking about stuff like in free agency that seemed like it was done, but wasn't done. And if like any of us had tweeted about it, then like we'd be looking pretty stupid right now.
Yeah. And so, I mean, but, you know, I take that information to say, yeah, they're working on things. Right. Yeah. I'm not going to come out and tell you exactly what I've heard, but I can tell you, yeah, they're working on things. Mm-hmm. Last year, on two different occasions, in July and August, I heard the Rudy Gay trade was done, basically done, agreed to. I couldn't get further confirmation on that. I kind of sat on it. I think I made the comment a couple of times, like, no, I think that there's a fire where that smoke is coming from, and it didn't happen. Yeah. So now, for various reasons, I think it probably would have, like if campaign's foot wasn't messed up, but. You know, so anyway, I put that out there. Some people are a lot more comfortable with hearing something and running with it. And that's, you know, that's cool. It's just not anything that I'm particularly interested in doing. And I know people like Fred and Royce as well. They approach it a lot differently as well.
Yeah, I think that most of those guys, if they need to hear it from more than one person, or they need to hear it from like somebody that's super inside, or that. You know, they're not just going to report it because they hear it through the grapevine.
Right.
Because there's a lot of stuff going on. There are a tremendous amount of discussions that these teams are having. Like, you hear about trades, you hear about interest in a player, you hear about all this stuff. That stuff is just, I mean, we talk about like trades and stuff usually on Friday podcasts. We do the trade machine. And I mean, that times like 1,000 is like happening all the time. Like,
yeah.
The Thunder are interested in a lot of players. Like, if it was reported like every player they were interested in, I think the fan base heads would explode.
Right.
Because it's some of it's kind of crazy and some of it's really exciting and most of it never happens.
Right. Yeah. I mean, just look at everything that's come out of Boston. I'm sure if you go to. Yeah. If you go to any NBA rumor site right now, you're probably going to get Celtics considering trade for Anthony Davis.
Right.
That's probably out there somewhere.
Yeah.
And it means absolutely nothing.
Right.
It is just empty calories, but it makes you feel good because, oh my God, what if they traded Jay Crowder? And what if they moved this? And what if they finally put in the Nets pick? And, you know, in a way it's good because it keeps people talking about the sport. And people are, you know, they're really fired up about it. They're passionate about it. There's nothing wrong with that necessarily, but I don't know. Just I would say be a little more careful out there. You know, kind of what you read, where it comes from. Not to say that, I mean, if someone obscure comes up and says something and it turns out to be true, that doesn't mean they were discredited. But
right.
You know, just it's kind of tricky.
Yeah.
And I would just caution that, you know. no news is not necessarily bad news, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And these guys probably aren't making it up. They probably have heard it from somebody. But like John was saying, like, you don't want to report everything that you hear. Like, I think some of those guys, like you mentioned, would say that that's not reporting. Like, you've got to,
right.
You've got to dig deeper. Like, hearing one thing from one person is not, and then saying it is not reporting. Like, that you've got to dig deeper once you hear that. Like, I think Fred would say, like, that's a signal that you need to, like, dig deeper and, and figure some things out before you just go out and say it.
Yep. And those professionals that I mentioned earlier, again, Royce, Fred, Brett, Eric, anyone that's ever worked at the Oklahoman, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, those people are very well networked.
Yep.
You know, probably a lot more than I, no, not probably, certainly, definitely a lot more than I am. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, again, those guys, I don't think they could get anything, you know, I don't think they could take one thing and run with it at the Oklahoma, and there would be an editor that stopped up and says, wait, where else have you heard this from? Right. It would have to be, yeah, they can't operate that way. And I don't even know if the people at the Oklahoma want to operate necessarily in that, you know, rumor space. If they've got a report that something is imminent from multiple sources, I'm sure they'll report it right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're not just going to run, you know, with something that was just, you know, kind of breezed by them by some agent they were talking to. I mean, it's got to be a little more informed than that.
Yeah, and there's bigger risk with those guys too, because like it's a source from ESPN with Royce that's reporting that this is happening. You know, it's Fred's credibility, it's the Oklahoman's credibility when it comes to those other guys. It's just like maybe you don't get the scoop. Maybe you're not the one who's the first person to say it. But it's just better for them to not say it, because like most of the time you're going to be wrong if you're only using one or even two sources. Like, you're most likely it's going to be wrong. So you can't risk being wrong.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're exactly right. I mean, those guys can't put their neck out on the line for, you know, something kind of flimsy. And there are some people out there that, you know, have their own little blog that can take that risk or feel like they can.
Yeah.
And they're going to hit every once in a while. I have no doubt about it. But if you want more consistent, accurate information, you know, the pros are out there.
Yep. Let's talk about Russell Westbrook's contract. So he's still out there. The contract is probably sitting on some desk waiting for him to sign it. What is it going to look like, Ham? Is he going to sign the 5-year? Everybody thinks that maybe he'll wait and sign like a lesser amount. Like, run us through these options.
Yeah. So as I understand it, under the new agreement, Russ is eligible for this, you know, what everyone kind of generally knows as the designated veteran player extension.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a 5-year extension. And it can be it's negotiable from 30% of the cap up to 35, based on whatever the cap is going to be in 2018. So, in other words, my understanding, and I went through yesterday and read and tried to clarify this, the way I understand it, he cannot sign like another 1+1 extension right now or another short term extension. Right now, at this moment, his option is sign a 5-year extension or do not.
Yeah. Or wait until his contract expires and then sign a new deal.
Exactly. If he waits, then yeah, then he could, you know, he could sign basically whatever contract he was comfortable with whatever team as well. So, but in Oklahoma City, he could get a 5-year deal. If he signed elsewhere, it would be only 4. So Russ is going to be at a point, because he's hitting that 10-year mark, where he doesn't have to, there's no advantage to him taking a short-term deal.
Yeah.
There's no reason for him to do that.
This is the most amount of money that he can make. He can sign it today, ink it today, and be done. And that's a long deal. Like, five years is a long, long deal. And
well, in addition to the year he has, it's 6 years, because it would be tacked on at the end of this coming season. So, yeah, it would be a 6-year deal.
Yeah. I mean, that's like super like 3 CBAs ago type of deal. I mean, you just don't see this.
back in the 99 agreement, players could sign up for 7 years. And there were dudes out there like Allen Houston that got like massive long-term deals, or Tariq Abdul-Wahad that signed these long-term deals that immediately turned toxic. And yeah, it's, you know, James Harden just signed. His extension was over 6 years and, I don't know, 228, I don't know, like the richest NBA contract. Russell Westbrook is in position to sign the extension, plus with the year he's got left on his deal, to eclipse that deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's, I mean, they'll have Russ until he's 34. And then when he is 34, what's he getting paid? Like 40 some odd million?
Possibly. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, the cap is going to keep going, or hopefully it's going to keep going up. So, but still, yeah, you're right. It is definitely a potential Kobe situation where you're going to have a player towards the end of his contract, or even Dwayne Wade in Miami, where Miami eventually reached a point where they weren't willing to commit, you know, the kind of thank you contract to Dwayne Wade. So, yeah. But I mean, that's eons from now.
It is. Yeah. It's kind of crazy to think about, but yeah, if he's going to sign a deal, it's going to be the 5 year. And if he waits, then I think it's probably concerning to Thunder fans a little bit. But also, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if he and Paul George decided that they wanted to take another run at it and they both signed like a 2+1 or something like that. I actually think that might be like the most favorable thing to OKC, rather than like signing this massive 5 year deal, because I think that it could way in the future handicap what they're going to try to do later. But for now, I think that the Thunder obviously would love for him to just sign that deal. And I think that does speak that would speak volumes to Paul George, I think, if Russ is willing to commit to this city for 5 more years. So there's just a lot. It's very interesting. I just think there's a lot of interesting things within it. I think that a lot hinges on him signing it or not signing it. The storylines hinge on that. Is Paul George really just a secret agent here in Oklahoma City trying to get Russell Westbrook to sign with the Lakers? Like, you can squash that if he signs it.
The Summer League champion Lakers, Andrew. You need to give them the proper respect.
That's right. To them. That's okay. Right. Okay. God is good, John Hamm. God is good.
But yeah, just to you know, kind of clarify this, because like Paul George, I wrote recently on Daily Thunder, like there's an advantage to him taking a short term deal this summer so he can get to the 10-year veteran mark and then cash in on the 35% of the salary cap max. Yeah. Kevin Durant the past two seasons was in that position to take short deals so he could get to the 10 years. No advantage to Russ doing that. So I've heard people throwing around the idea that, well, you know, maybe Russ does just want to take a short term deal to see how it goes here in Oklahoma City. And I'm not crapping on that logic. But if you have an opportunity to lock in guaranteed $200+ million,
yeah,
you know, you can force yourself out later.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he's almost more valuable. More valuable as a trade chip for the Thunder. And if you're 34 years old, like Russell, I believe in Russell Westbrook. I'm not trying to like say that I think he's going to decline early or anything like that. But a guy that relies on his athleticism as much as he does, and he's aware of this, you just don't know like when that's going to end or when that's going to decline. And it could happen at 32. And so it's really, I mean, it would be a big deal if he declined it and went and signed like a short term deal, because turning down 40+ million when you're 34 years old, I mean, that's a huge, huge deal to NBA players. And Russ may still be at the peak of his powers. He may end up being like LeBron, where he doesn't really show, you know, a super decline until later on in his career. And, you know, we're kind of entering an interesting phase of the NBA where the technology and the value on sleep and the value on rest and the value on all these things, we're like, this is new territory. So like we can't use like the old way of thinking about these guys when it comes to declining. So either LeBron is just as big of a freak as we think he is, or maybe we're entering an era where guys can play a little bit longer at their peak. So I think that Russ will be a really interesting case study on that.
And Russ doesn't drink the Mountain Dew that he advertises for. So
he does not. In fact, in that Mountain Dew commercial, he was not drinking Mountain Dew.
This is hashtag reporting, by the way.
This is real reporting because I saw it happen right before my eyes, that they took like some kind of like vitamin C mix and dumped out the Mountain Dew out of multiple deals and mixed this yellow vitamin C mix. And that's what he's drinking in the Mountain Dew commercials. I watched it happen.
Whereas I am addicted to Diet Mountain Dew. So there's your difference. If I drink the vitamin C mix, I mean, who knows what kind of an athlete I could be.
You'd be killing the volleyball court, Sam.
Yes, I would.
I'd like to thank Anchor Down for sponsoring our show. If you don't follow Anchor Down on social media, please do. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those are Anchor Down OKC. So if you just search Anchor Down OKC, click that follow button. They're really fun. You can check out all the live events that they have, including on Friday night, they will have Eric Oftedal playing live music on their patio. It's going to be fantastic. Grab a beer, listen to some live music on Friday night. You can go pick up some good beer there. They obviously have their corn dogs with their chips. You can actually substitute tots for chips, and you can actually substitute pizza tots for chips with your corn dog, which I would highly recommend. Of course, you can always get their delicious Cobb salad. You can get great drinks, good beer. They have good mixed drinks. It's a really cool place. The patio is going to be just fantastic from 8 to 11 out there. It's right by a loft downtown. So if you guys know where a loft is and you don't know where Anchor Down is, it's just right there next to a loft in those big red shipping containers. It's just a cool spot. It's a really cool spot. If you haven't been down there, this Friday night would be the perfect time to go. Hear some live music, get a drink with some friends, eat some good food. Also late night food, which is really rare downtown. You can get that all at Anchor Down. Let's do some TQs.
Let's do it.
This is from Andy Harp on Twitter. There's been a buzz around the Thunder rebranding for a while. If they did, what would be your dream new look for the Thunder?
There's a buzz, but it's from the fans, like wanting a rebrand.
Right.
Just to clarify, I'm not hearing like a buzz like from the team, like, oh, we're going to rebrand soon. I mean, it's from the fans. So,
Yeah.
And I've also been on record, like, the current logo and a lot of the stuff they have going on doesn't bother me as much as it does others. So probably I probably shouldn't opine on this topic too much.
As you know, Ham, I wish they would rebrand. I think
that I definitely know this.
I think they could use a rebrand. I like the use of like the bison. Not like a big bison on the front of the jersey, but maybe like on the shorts or something like that. I saw one recently where they used, instead of just like straight lines down the jersey, that they use like a lightning bolt. Mm-hmm. With the same color scheme, but just use that as a lightning bolt. I think that's pretty cool. Other than that, I think that mostly just keeping things simple. I think the OKC that's on the Sunset jerseys, which we have heard are going away, I think the OKC is great. Rather than spelling out Oklahoma City on the jersey, I think that OKC looks cool.
Right.
So I think like those, like just very simple updates. You can keep the same color scheme, but like add a little bit of character, show something that like is at least like thundery or like represents Oklahoma on them, with just like a small touch like that. I think those kind of things would be simple, and it wouldn't be, I don't think the Thunder will ever like do a crazy rebrand, but I think things like that would help, I think, make the jerseys a little bit better. All right, next question. This is from @Milamo_OK. I think there's two questions in here. Why is Nerlens Noel still available?
Yeah, just the free agent market is basically dried up.
Yeah.
At this point.
And the center market in particular is dried
up. Yeah, that too. That too. And look, Nerlens Noel didn't have the greatest reputation in terms of like work habit.
Yeah.
With the Sixers. I know he maybe he turned that around a little bit in Dallas, but I mean those are the sorts of things that, you know, maybe some teams are going, I don't really know if I want to try to, you know, invest all that much in him. So right. And now there's not many teams left with cap space.
Right. I mean, it's the Nets, basically.
Pretty much.
And they just
maybe the Hawks.
Yeah, the Hawks too.
But they've already they've signed Dwayne Dedman. They're mm-hmm. pretty much locked up, I think. So
yeah, and they're not one to tie a bunch of cap space up in a center. And the Nets just drafted Jared Allen out of Texas, and so mm-hmm. they're not playing for anything. I mean, literally, they're playing for nothing. No draft pick, no playoff spot, nothing.
Right.
This season. So I don't think that they see a point in signing him to a deal, except for to maybe just screw with Mark Cuban.
Right.
And so I think that they'd like to play Jared Allen as much as they can. They like to play D'Angelo Russell as much as they can, see if they can develop some chemistry between those two. There's also the injury history with Noel. That's mm-hmm. concerning. His attitude, like you mentioned, and the fact that nobody needs a center.
Yeah.
Some people are like, well, I haven't the Thunder traded Enes Kanter yet. It's because like nobody needs Enes Kanter. Okay. Enes Kanter's a good player, but everybody's got a big guy. There's no team that needs a big guy.
It is hard to find a fit right now. So, but this works in Dallas's favor, and it's not unusual to see restricted free agents still be available this late in the game. I mean,
right.
Tristan Thompson, Eric Bledsoe in mm-hmm. the past, I mean, they were well into like September, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Pekovic, whenever his deal
yes.
came up, went like so late.
And yeah.
Nobody could figure out why he hadn't signed.
Right.
But yeah, cap space is going to be an issue moving forward for a lot of teams. And we're starting to see that, and it's all thanks to the summer of 2016 that ruined the NBA. Thanks a lot, 2016.
Seismic. We kind of knew it at the time. We were like in the middle of that quake.
Yeah.
Going, wow, this is wild. And then you get away from it and you're like, oh my God, that was, I still can't believe the league and the players allowed it to happen like that. So,
right.
Not so Kevin Durant could go to Golden State, but because they decided that Jeff Green and Bismack Biyombo and Mian Mahinmi had to get paid last summer.
Right. Chandler Parsons, max contract.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
there are some deals that are going to just sit. Like that Mahinmi deal is going to sit. Chandler Parsons is going to sit. All the Blazers guys are going to sit.
Oh, man, the Blazers.
The Blazers got screwed by 2016.
Yeah, they did. Well, and some of it was their own doing. They didn't have to go drop $17 million a year on Evan Turner, but
no.
They felt like they had to use their cap space, right? That was the thought. Got to use the space. And, you know, honestly, like the smart team was Orlando in this sense. They gave Jeff Green a 1-year, $15 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers are kind of doing something smart this year with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. 1-year, big money deal. No long-term commitments. Now, Orlando, unfortunately, made some other stupid moves. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I still can't believe, like, you're telling me Jan Mahinmi wouldn't have taken a 2-year, $32 million contract?
Yeah.
But, you know, anyway.
Yeah, the Blazers are in trouble. Like, it really sucks for them because, like, you're paying Dame and CJ. You're paying Dame $26 million next season. CJ, $23 million. Then Alan Crabb is making $19 million next season.
Yeah.
Evan Turner, $17 million. Myers Leonard, almost $10 million. Those three deals, you're just screwed. Because those are fine rotation-level NBA players. But when you're paying rotation-level NBA players nearly $50 million of your cap, you are screwed.
Yeah. And then think about this, in Miami, Tyler Johnson, who's a perfectly fine rotational guard.
Yeah.
He's going to be on one of those weird contracts that jacks up to almost $20 million the last two seasons of his deal. Oh, so, man.
They should have just let the Nets have them. Just let the Nets have those guys.
And I had a brief conversation with David Brandon, my guy at Bird Rights NBA. He heard from someone that said that Pat Riley wanted to let that one go, but it was Mickey Arison that jumped in and said, no, we got to keep him.
Interesting.
So,
yeah.
Take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, that's another thing within all of this stuff is that ownership matters. Like, these are the guys that are writing the checks for everybody. And if they want something to happen, it's typically going to happen.
Typically going to happen. Yep. And you just got to work with it.
We're all just working for billionaires here. Same Twitter handle at Melamo_okay. Says the Thunder need another wing. And then it says hashtag Tony Allen.
Do they need another wing?
I don't think they do.
I don't think so. I mean, honestly, I honestly don't think they do. I've had some people mention Tony Allen to me.
Yeah.
Not with Andre Robertson on hand. I don't see the point of having that kind of redundancy.
Yeah. I think with Robertson, you don't need Tony Allen.
No.
Cause where are the minutes? Cause you got Robertson and you've got, and also you got all these young guys. You got Robertson, you have Abrines. Those are your shooting guards. And then you have PG-13, and you've got Doug McDermott, and then you have Terrence Ferguson, who they probably would like to get minutes if there are minutes available. But with those four, there shouldn't be minutes available. And then you have Raymond Felton, who's going to play and who could play next to Russ in some spots, because I know they like to have multiple ball handlers on the floor if possible. So there's just the minutes aren't there. I think Tony Allen can still play. Like, the guy can still play. And he just, like, who are you going to bump? Are you going to bump Alex Abrines' minutes so that you can play Tony Allen? Like, you're not. You're not going to do that. And I think they would. I don't think Terrence Ferguson will play a ton for the Thunder. But I think they'd like to give him some minutes to see what he looks like, because he's not a guy that needs the ball in his hands. He's a catch and shoot, 3-and-D type wing. And maybe this kid can come in and play. And I think that playing in the NBA too for 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds, I think it's really important for their development. I don't love just like stashing a guy away in the D League and not giving them a chance. Like, I don't think that what the Thunder did with Perry Jones and Jeremy Lamb was particularly helpful for their careers. And I understand it's going to be tough to get Ferguson minutes on this team because, like we mentioned, there's four wings right there, plus Felton, plus all the minutes that Russ is going to take. I just think that it would be good, though, for Ferguson to get some experience in the NBA. But also you have Josh Huestis, too, who could play the three.
Yeah, I know.
So there's not enough space. I think for the first time ever, the Thunder are set at the wings, because even when we had Durant, we was always like, man, the Thunder could use another wing. But now I think that they're pretty much set for the first time, and it might only be for one season.
It may be. Yeah, maybe. But at this point, and even if there was another move that opened up an opportunity on the wing, I don't know that Tony Allen is going to be the solution. So
No. Yeah, you're right. This is from at Kev_VH. If Russ and Paul wait to sign contracts, would that give the Thunder max level space to start free agency in 2018? And then they could both sign with Bird Rights.
And then there's a reply after this. No, cap holds.
Yeah.
This was the concept that was supposed to prevent teams from double dipping.
Yeah.
But when a player's contract expires, he still counts against the cap, and at a higher number than his previous contract. And so, because the NBA assumes by default you want to bring your own guys back. So Russell Westbrook, let's look, using this scenario, Paul George, Russell Westbrook are going to count, I think, 30 some odd million against the salary cap. So there will be no cap room unless those guys leave.
Yeah.
So this is not a viable solution either. So there have been loopholes in the past, like San Antonio did this with Kawhi Leonard coming off his rookie contract.
Yep.
Because he had a low cap hold. But now the league is going to change that, not this summer, but next summer, and increase those cap holds. So no, go to the CBA FAQ, search for cap holds, and Larry Coon will explain it like infinitely better than I possibly could.
Yep. For Matt Shannon Z Ward, after last year, how do you justify yourself questioning on Media Day? What do you plan on asking Samaj?
I think Shannon's taking a little swipe at you, Andrew.
I think he is, which is fair. I should probably stay away from the mic when Samaj comes onto the podium, because I'll be there. Yeah. I'll be recording Media Day, and if I have questions, I'll ask. But I'll probably step out of the room when it comes to Samaj, because I can't predict what will come out of my mouth if I'm holding a mic and looking into the face of Samaj Christian. So
what I'll do is I'll say, Samaj, you know, last season you took a lot of heat on social media from people that felt like you had no business being in the league. What have you done in order to try to redeem yourselves in the eyes of those people? I'll ask that question.
Oh, man. It got really bad toward the end of the season and then the playoffs, because anytime Samaj would do something good, I would get like 40 replies to me just about Samaj.
Right. Hey, you painted yourself in that corner, bud. You asked for that, so.
I did. It just started as me just like wanting everyone to make sure like we knew like this is not a good starting. This is not good for the Thunder in any way. And it got pretty bad. This is from at Trey Browntown. Where do you see Russ's efficiency numbers next year with the added space on the floor and presumably with lesser usage / shot attempts?
I've never put the words Russell Westbrook inefficient in the same sentence in a positive way. I mean, even in the best of times, I mean, that's just, efficiency is some guys, you know, thrive on that, you know, like Durant, for example, has always been a high efficient player, or Dirk Nowitzki or whatever. Russ has never been like the model of efficiency.
No, he hasn't. I just think that like his field goal percentage will see an increase. Because he's 43% for his career on field goal attempts. He was 42 last season. So I think that he could go up as high as like 44, 45 from the field. We're not talking like ultra efficient, though.
Right.
Like you said. Yeah. And he shot his best percentage from three last season. I think a lot of people forget on his most attempts. He took 7 threes. And prior to that, he hadn't taken more than 4.3 attempts from three. I think that you could see that. I would expect his 3-point percentage to even dip, because I think that some of that is luck. I don't think that he, and maybe he did improve, and maybe he is going to be a 34-35% 3-point shooter. If that happens, like the Thunder are going to be really good. Like the Thunder are going to be great, but I would expect it to dip down to like 32%. Which is still fine. Like, he should still take threes. He's not going to take 7 threes, a game again next season. Or he shouldn't do that.
I am more concerned about the efficiency numbers of, like, Steven Adams, which I think will go up.
Yeah.
And what Trey is talking about here, having more room to work with, it should help Adams out tremendously. Any big man, it should help out on this Thunder team. So I look more in that regard. Russ plays the way he does, and he plays a game that, you know, is not necessarily designed around being highly efficient like some of the most skilled scorers in the league.
Well, even a Paul George, like, I think that his efficiency will benefit from playing next to Russell Westbrook, as Durant did, as Steven Adams will, as Enes Kanter has. You know, he'll benefit from playing next to him, as Serge Ibaka did.
Right.
I don't know that Serge Ibaka becomes the player that he is if he didn't play next to Russ for the, you know, first 8 years of his career.
Yeah, I mean, people forget, like, Ibaka was money on that pick and pop for so long.
Yep.
So It'll help.
It will. Next question is from at MatthewC7673. Will Dakari and Josh get a shot this year?
Is this the 10th consecutive podcast we've been asked about Josh Huestis getting an opportunity?
Probably 11th.
Okay.
Let's. Well,
if so,
do you want to just talk to Kari?
Well, if this is the 11th, I want to punch the card because I get a free sub. So let me
do it. Do it.
It's a very, very popular topic. Yeah. As far as Dakari goes, I mean, maybe there's going to be some more movement that might open up a roster spot for him. But right now it looks like he's in line for one of those two-way contracts. And I don't know that. I'm not reporting that. That's just the way it looks.
Yeah.
And even if he did get signed, you know, to a minimum salary NBA contract, I don't see where there's going to be room for him barring a big shakeup to the roster.
Right. Yeah, Dakari Johnson, Daniel Hamilton, those guys look like the most likely candidates for those two-way deals if the Thunder are going to use them. And those guys aren't contributing to this team. Like, they're...
Right.
I mean, Dakari looked good in summer league. He was doing some things that, you know, we really hadn't seen before with his ball handling and stuff like that. But Dakari Johnson's not playing for the Thunder this season. Unless Enes Kanter's gone and they don't replace him with another big... And then Jeremy Grant gets hurt. Then maybe they bring Dakari up and try him. But he's not contributing to the Thunder. Daniel Hamilton, he's not going to play for this team. I don't even know if he'll ever play for this team. Unless things got really bleak and, you know, Russ and Paul George leave and, you know, Doug McDermott gets priced out. And then it's like, well, Daniel Hamilton is now our fourth or fifth wing. But I just don't see it with those guys. The minutes aren't there for Huestis either. Like, I feel bad for him because I feel like he's done everything that he's been asked to do. And I do think he's got talent. But for whatever reason, he is basically just not going to get a chance unless there's an injury.
Yeah, that's the thing. And so a couple of things to add to that. I mean, go to Basketball Reference and click back through the NBA drafts over the years. You'll find that there are the vast majority of second round picks don't pan out or don't pan out too much.
Oh, yeah.
So no question. not anticipating a lot out of those guys. And also, too, and, you know, Brent Dawson and I talked about this on a recent Thunder Buddies pod. The 15th guy, 16th, 17th. It's not going to move the needle. Not going to move the needle at all. Like you say, they're kind of there, like, you know, break glass in case of emergency. They're there for that type of situation, but don't anticipate they're going to contribute a whole lot.
Well, that's why Nick re-signed. Because, like, Nick Collison's not going to play for the Thunder next season. And he's there as a veteran. He's there to be Mr. Thunder, to retire as a Thunder/Sonics player. That's what he's there for. Like, they're not going to play him, which I think Nick is probably very disappointed about. But they just don't need to play him.
I mean, another thing, too, because we did hear, and I forget if Collison himself said it or if it was just, you know, people that reported that Collison would like to play.
Mm-hmm.
Every NBA player would like to play.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I didn't find that terribly surprising, though. I thought, okay, well, that might lead him to look around and maybe an opportunity does come up in San Antonio, for example. But I'm not surprised that an NBA player would, you know, would get the word out that, well, I want to play somewhere next year. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you may not be able to, and this might be the role you can get.
Yeah. Yeah. It's surprising. One of the best 400 players at a game would want to play that particular game.
Right. Yeah. Strange, huh?
At JD Lawrence, do you think Presti was always planning to go big this offseason, or do you think it's a case of good old luck?
I've talked about this before. I mean, this is kind of why the Thunder had the youth movement that they did.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sam talked about this in his press conferences before all the big moves went down. I have no doubt that they were working, trying to get another star player in here. And because they had young players, they had a better opportunity to make that happen. And if it didn't happen, then you come back with the young players, let them grow and develop until the right opportunity comes along to move them. So they were in a much better position to do that than, you know, if Memphis is trying to offer, well, we got Chandler Parsons and Deontay Davis.
Yeah.
Do you want that for Paul George? You know, they actually had like young guys on contracts that Indiana wanted, mm-hmm. You know, to pull that through. So that's kind of the beauty of this plan is you've got young guys that are going to, you know, hopefully going to get better, most likely going to get better if you keep them. Or they're going to be more desirable to other teams if that right opportunity comes along.
Yeah. And that's what the NBA is all about, is opportunities. And that's what Sam Presti set himself up for, was just to have the opportunity to have the conversation. Like, I've got assets. I think some of it is luck. Like, it's,
oh, sure,
it's lucky that Paul George was in the last year of his deal and let the Pacers know that he didn't want to finish out his deal with them, basically, or that he's leaving whenever his contract is up. It's luck that the Thunder were able to draft or able to get Sabonis and Oladipo for Serge Ibaka because mm-hmm. they were able to leverage Toronto and Orlando against each other. But I do think that a lot of it's just the immense preparation that Sam Presti has and the ability to have these young guys and to have multiple scenarios mapped out. Like, Sam Presti doesn't just, he's not setting this team on like a track and like, we're just going to grind it out with this squad until they reach their max potential. Like, I think Sam Presti is always looking to improve yeah. the roster and improve the team. And that's where, and like, that includes, that, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that includes now. I mean, I don't think that they've necessarily just kind of, you know, just kind of brushing their hands going, well, that was a hard, you know, summer. No, I have no doubt they're probably still on the lookout to continue to improve the team if they can. And and just to clarify, too, we're not saying that everything this offseason was just luck. It's more like the opportunities. It's kind of fortunate that they came around. But like you said, there's a lot of hard work that goes into it, mm-hmm. you know, to identify those players, to develop those players, you know, to build the relationships with a guy like Kevin Pritchard, you know, to keep going back to him and, you know, yep. and to work a dead deal with him. And there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes to get to that point. It's not necessarily just, you know, pick up the phone and make the offer and, you know, yes or no. It's that the Paul George deal, again, has been reported, was going on all last season. Mm-hmm. So this was months and months of chatter that led to that actually happening.
And Sam Presti pulling on the heartthreads of Kevin Pritchard too.
Right. Right. Hey, whatever works.
It's really pretty interesting reading that article about how he was like, told him he could identify with where he was. And mm-hmm. I know how this is so hard. And Kevin's like crying on the other end. No, let's do a couple more from at BP2097. Which roster would you rather have, the Thunder or the Rockets? Who has better starters / bench? Which all-star duo fits better? So I think we can start with the all-star duo that fits better. I think that it's Russ and Paul George because they play different positions and can cover multiple positions on the court as a duo, where you have Harden and Chris Paul. They are both effectively point guards, which isn't like the worst thing in the world to have that as your multiple positions, but the fit isn't seamless with them.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, this is all on paper. This was something, you know, I was asked yesterday about in the Western Conference, you know, where do these teams line up? And, you know, it's going to be a lot different when they actually get on the court together. Who knows? Maybe Paul George and Russ don't click. Maybe Harden and CP3 don't click. Maybe mm-hmm. it all comes together and it's brilliant. So we're kind of going on paper here. But yeah, the comparison that I've used is like Russ and Kevin Durant were like Shaq and Kobe, but Russ and Paul George could be Russ and Powell.
Yeah.
Or Kobe and Powell. Mm-hmm. I think that type of a fit, just the personalities, the skill sets they bring, the potential complementary skill set between the two, I think it could be, you know, kind of a fit like that.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Here's the deal with the Rockets and the Thunder. They're extremely close. Like, they are neck and neck.
Flip a coin.
And, yeah, flip a coin as to who's going to finish with the better record. Because I think that they're going to be within two or three games of each other at the end of the season. And who knows which team it's going to be. Maybe one team suffers injuries where another team doesn't. Maybe, like you said, maybe it takes a while for one team to click where it doesn't for the other. So and both these teams aren't done yet. I think the Thunder are probably closer to done than the Rockets are, because the Rockets are still in these ongoing Carmelo Anthony talks. And depending on who they have to give up to get him, like I think they're going to have to give up more than just Ryan Anderson to get Melo back, unless something very crazy happens. Like if they have to give up like an Eric Gordon, like that changes the entire equation for me on which team is better. Because if you have Eric Gordon coming off the bench for you, that's a big deal. That's a really big deal.
He was huge last season before the trade deadline when they got greedy and went and got Lou Williams.
Right. Yeah. He was really good. He had a great season for them. Because then who's coming off your bench? You know?
Right.
I mean, then that's where you're going to see, like, I don't know what they're going to do. And the Thunder, the Thunder have got Cantor, who's going to score off the bench. But I don't know. It's hard to say. Because I do think that both are very good. I think I would lean toward the Thunder starters for sure. I just think that their defense is going to be outstanding. Because if the Rockets start Ryan Anderson at the four, I think that that's where you say, okay, advantage Thunder. Because their defense and their offense, I think, is going to be really good. And then with the bench, I think it's close too. I think that you could, Nene is really good last season, but he's coming off an injury and he's in his 15th year. PJ Tucker is good, but he's 32. They definitely have a more experienced bench.
Dan Toney's only going to use two of those guys the entire season. So, right. I mean,
yeah,
that's how he rolls.
And another thing with like the bench for Houston is that they're always going to have Chris Paul or James Harden on the floor. Like that,
they should.
Like their backup point guard is James Harden.
Right. Yeah. Not a bad scenario. We've seen that work out well.
Yeah. Yeah. That helps. It helps to have James Harden with your second unit. So that makes it a little bit more complicated, because I think the Thunder could run more of a traditional second unit, even more so than the Houston Rockets will. But it's close. And I just think that on paper, I think I might favor the Thunder. But I just think that you're right. You just have to see it. You got to see it play out, because you just never know. Because, I mean, the personalities in Houston are a little bit more explosive than they are in Oklahoma City. But there's also a really, really high ceiling with that Rockets team as an offensive team. Because what they lacked last season was that they just did threes and at the rim. And now they have one of the best mid-range players in the game in Chris Paul, who could kind of bridge the gap and make them a very, very dynamic team. And Clint Capela, a lot of it hinges on his development too. I think he's only 22 or he's 23 now. Like a lot of the development hinges on him. Like, what is he going to do? Cause he's a pretty good rim runner, but he's not a great defender. The Thunder played him off the floor last season in the playoffs. What does his development look like? Is Trevor Ariza going to continue to be good? Is PJ Tucker, you know, both those two are at the age where gets a little dicey with these like 32 year old wings, and can they keep up? And so there's an advantage with the Thunder is that they have a lot of young guys. They're either in their prime or they're these pre-prime young guys. So you can see it go either way, where these players for the Rockets are still able to play really well, and then the Thunder's guys aren't quite ready, or you could see it flip-flopped. But I don't know. It's going to be that's going to be a fascinating thing to watch as the season goes on.
No doubt.
Let's do one more. People are asking about Terrence Ferguson. We don't know when he'll get the clearance from FIBA, but I assume it's going to happen. Like, you have anything on that?
No, it's a weird situation. I don't recall, and this is off the top of my head. I haven't really researched this. I don't recall a hangup quite like this to this, you know, to this extreme.
Yeah.
But I don't have any reason to doubt it, but it's just, it's kind of strange. I know, I don't know where, I don't know where that stands, but no, I don't get the impression it's going to linger into the regular season.
Yeah. And I don't, maybe this has happened before. I don't know, because
right,
this stuff is not like news really.
Right.
and things that teams are like reporting about, and like Terrence Ferguson's going to get signed. And he's going to be on the Thunder roster, and he's probably going to play for the Blue. Like, that's the track that we're headed with Terrence Ferguson for this season.
Well, and let's, and this is also just, you know, me kind of musing here, but here's the other scenario too. You know, maybe there is a legitimate FIBA hang up, and that's holding up things, but mm-hmm. he could also be traded right now. If he signed, you have to wait 30 days until he can be included in a trade. But as of now, he's $0 salary, and you know he's a draft pick. Basically, you can include into a trade. So
yeah, that's true. I thought about that the other day. Yeah,
yeah. So just you know, again, who know? He could very well, like you say, sign a contract, split the season between the Blue and the Thunder, and we'll see how it goes. But in the meantime, you know, that's a trade chip.
Yeah, because you look at Kanter and you're like, man, nobody probably wants him. But if you through Terrence Ferguson and the Bulls second rounder with Kanter, it's like, huh. Well, that's kind of interesting.
Maybe.
All right. Last one from at OK Love Zero. Discuss the Paul George God is good tweet. Was that really about Lakers Summer League? Are he and Magic secretly communicating? # conspiracy theories.
that is more thought than I have put into it.
It's funny. I don't know what I would do if I had like the social media power of an NBA player, because you could just mess with people so much. Like,
oh yeah,
Paul George is probably not tweeting about Summer League, and he's probably not tweeting to Magic Johnson. He's probably just had like a really great experience like at his church or with somebody or with his family, or maybe he caught a big fish or something's happening, and he picks up his phone. He's like, man, this is so, man, my life is so good. God is good. You know, prayer hands. This is great. I'm just, things are going great. And then Lakers fans are like, we just won Summer League championship, and now Paul George saying God is good. That must mean he's coming to LA. I mean, it's astounding.
Yeah, I have. I've cracked the Da Vinci Code. I've put it all together.
Yeah, Paul George is probably like, oh no, I can't believe the coincidence and me tweeting about and the Summer League championship. Come on, people. The Summer League championship means nothing. The Kings won the Summer League championship like 2 years ago. It means absolutely nothing. The Thunder won the Summer League championship in Orlando a few years ago, and they still had Durant and Westbrook on their team. And you know what? All those players really didn't contribute to the Thunder, except for Reggie Jackson. Like, this doesn't mean anything. I mean, Kuzma could be good. Like, I don't know, but a lot of people through the draft process don't think that he's any good. Guys that aren't any good, you know what? Sometimes they look really good in Summer League.
Oh, man. Yeah, there are some dudes that look incredibly good in Summer League, and then they actually start playing NBA talent. You realize.
Yeah.
They're Summer League players.
Yeah. So I don't take anything from it. I just think that Paul George thinks that God is good. That's what I
think. Could be as simple as that.
I don't think that he is elated about the Summer League championship. I don't think that that's swaying anybody. And, you know, Magic Johnson is super enthusiastic. He said the Lakers are back after they won the Summer League championship. Okay. Like, they're coming back, but, and maybe they're back next summer. But I don't know that you if you're the 10th or 11th best team in the West, if that qualifies as being back.
Right.
John, thanks for coming on the show today. We'll follow you on Twitter at John M. Hamm. We'll listen to you on the franchise. Read those articles on Daily Thunder. Just go search for John Hamm on Daily Thunder. Really useful stuff. If you're trying to understand, like, what are the Thunder doing and why are they doing it and what are the means they have to do it, Hamm does a great job of explaining that, and he kind of lined it out in a few articles that he's done this summer. So if you want to be a smarter Thunder fan, you should read those. Anything else, Hamm?
Nothing else at the moment.
Awesome. Follow us on Twitter at Down to Dunk. Leave us a 5-star iTunes review. We've had a lot of really nice reviews lately. I just want to thank you guys for that and just encourage you to keep doing that. If you're someone that listens day in, day out, and you enjoy the show, just take a few minutes to leave us a review. It does help us in the ratings, in the rankings on iTunes, and it helps with sponsorships, and it just kind of helps people that are looking for like a new NBA show or a Thunder show. If they see that we have so many ratings, I think that that helps too. So if you have the time, do that. That'd be super nice. We'll be back for a Fry Pod of crazy and weirdness on Friday. And until then, hope you guys have a great day.